Himself. Come on up here, Cody. He just had that real serious surgery just about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And up here run around like there ain't nothing ever been wrong with him. And he's got something to say for us tonight for Thanksgiving.
Psalms 95:2. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise with psalms.
Wasn't that good? That's good. All right. Got another one here, this boy? Come on. Look at this young man. I said, who wants to give Thanksgiving testimony? He said, I do. That's why it pays to take your kids to church. They learn stuff like that. All right, brother.
For Thanksgiving, Santa Claus will be here with Thanksgiving and presents.
Amen. That's a good one. Hallelujah. Why you tell him what? Tell him bring me something. All right. All right. That sounds, Sister Jones. Hold that for her, brother.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me and for my church. When Brother Danny asked me, I said, what do you want me to say? And he was like, well, thank him for my pastor. And of course I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for my church. But I got to thinking how I got here. And I was born in Minnesota. I was raised Catholic. And never was in church. Didn't really know anything about it. And Derek and the pastor that he had at the time came and visited our home. And I started going to that church. And me and Derek started dating. And he showed me the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. I never even had a Bible. He bought me my first Bible. And so I look at my life and I look at where God brought me from and where I am now. And I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my church. And I just look at the direction that the Lord took in my life. And I've messed it up so many times on my own. But when I look at what the Lord did for me, He's done a lot. I'm in a good church. I've got a wonderful family. I'm healthy. My family's healthy. And I thank God for His blessings.
Amen. Amen. That blessing. All right. Who else did I have lined up here? Jeremy? How about run right quick, brother?
I've got a lot to be thankful for. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm here.
Amen.
We know heaven's better than earth is.
That's right.
But, you know, I almost found out a few months ago. You know, that's I can kind of laugh about that now, but I'm just glad the Lord's, you know, took care of me and took care of my family and just blessed me. I'm glad that I know the truth.
Amen,
you know, that He's opened my blinded eyes.
Amen.
I mean, this is you talk to a lot of people out there, and they looking for peace and looking for they have for hope. They have no hope. You know, they reject the truth, and that's and I think about it, that could be me. I could be, you know, be one of those people. I'm just glad I'm saved.
Amen. Amen. All right. I had a couple more lined up here tonight. A couple of them couldn't come. Does somebody want to just pop up? Come on, Rhonda. Amen. Lord's done a lot for them lately.
Well, I'm thankful for my dad. He came to the house in 2000, was trying to get me to come to church, and I didn't do nothing but drink and work. I drank and worked, and he came and begged me to come to church, and I finally did one time, and it scared me because I felt something. So I waited a little bit, and I came back, and then on October the 16th, 2004, I got saved in this church. And then if he would give up, it would have never happened. And I'm glad he's where he's at. I know he's doing something special. I can't wait to see him again. I'm thankful he led me to the Lord.
Isn't that good? Brother Ray, you know, he's in heaven tonight. He's been gone having 3 months, 4 months now. And he's in heaven now. And he always told, every time we'd have prayer meeting, he'd say, pray for my family. They get in church. Pray for my family. They get in church. So there's one proof right there, y'all. Don't never give up praying for your family. Don't never give up. I don't care if you're a brother, if you're a dad, the meanest person in North Carolina. Don't give up praying for them. That's what they say. God's got a monkey wrench. He'll fit any nut in this town. And He can do it. The Lord can do it. He can get a hold of them. You say, well, ain't no hope for so-and-so. He probably said that about me once upon a time. Amen. All right. Somebody else. Who's going to be next? Right quick. Just you can volunteer. Miss Dottie, she's got one for us. She's got a good story too.
As most of you know, my kids used to come on the bus. I was backslid. Brother Ray and Mighty Mike used to come to my house every week and then get my kids to go to school. Then Brother Danny kept hollering, "You should do the bus route, you should do the bus route." Well, I also should tell you that Miss Millie showed up at my work one night, and I was having a real, real bad time. And she left a track on my table, and I sat in my table, and I just bawled my eyes out. And I would come to church, and I'd been coming for a while, and Miss Millie walked up to me, and she asked me if I knew who she was. And I told her, "Yes, ma'am, I know who you are." She actually saved me that day by coming in there. And I've been coming to church ever since. Brother Danny kept on me about bus route, you should try it. And I started going with Brother Mike. I loved going with Brother Mike and Chauncey. And, well, now everybody knows I do the bus route myself. And the Lord's blessed me. There's many times that I didn't think I was going to make it. In 2011, whenever we sing that song where you sing "Pray All Night," that was literally me when I thought I was going to die. Didn't work for months. And the Lord provided food for my family. Kept me from losing my car.
Thank God. Amen.
And I kept coming, and I kept being faithful, and I kept being patient, and when I first started coming, I was the only one in this row, and now it's awful. Lord's given me a grandbaby.
Amen.
Beautiful family. Soon to be husband. And I couldn't ask for more. My cup does run over.
Amen. 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 Like I say, you know, you get interested in what God's interested in, He'll get interested in what you're interested in. You get after you stay after people that the Lord loves, and the Lord will do something for you. I believe that. All right, who else? Who else? Right quick. Pop off for the Lord right quick, and we're going to... Uh-oh, Miss B. Here's another one. All right, go ahead. Most of y'all know Miss B. This is Kelly's mother. Go ahead.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me, and thank you. Thank the Lord for Kelly and Brother Danny getting married. He's the best son-in-law I've had. And I thank God for leading us to this church.
Amen.
Because Brother Danny, he really does obey the Lord, and he really knows about the Bible. And I just thank the Lord for...
Amen. Amen. You get your $5 after the service is over. I'll give you $5 for that. Brother Wayne, go ahead. Right. We appreciate Brother Wayne. He's doing a lot better. Appreciate y'all praying for
him. I want to thank the Lord that I'm saved. I want to thank the Lord that I know I'm saved. A lot of people don't know if they're saved or not, but I'm thankful I know. And if you don't know, this would be a good night to get saved. And I'm thankful for the young man up here on the front row that surrendered to preach. We need more preachers out here busy and working for the Lord. And I'm thankful that I'm here. 9 months ago, they told me that I had stage 4 cancer, and they never did give me any encouragement. You know, I said, "Well, I told the doctor, I said, just lie to me and tell me something where it's good or not. I mean, tell me something good." But I'm thankful I'm here. And the surgery on my neck and my throat and the radiation, the chemo, I lost my taste buds. But I'm happy to report that this past Thursday, last week, Tuesday or sometime, I felt led to go to Golden Corral and taste everything I could find in there. And I did pretty good. It wasn't all real good, but it was good. I ate everything on my plate. And I'm thankful for that, but I'm thankful for Danny, thankful for this church. I run across a man a while back that was up here, and he was a real estate agent, and he was telling about Danny and how much influence he is, not only to this church, not only to y'all, but over the whole county and the whole state. And I said, well, I'm from Florida, and I want you to know there's people down there that loves him. They pray for him all the time. They're always talking about it. I said, he's not only touched people's lives in North Carolina, he's touched lives in other states. And there's people I'm thinking about in Alabama right now. I know several preachers that talked about Brother Danny, but I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be here at Shining Light. I love Amen. This church, and I pray Amen. For it. You know, when you pray for something, then when God blesses you, then it means more to you. You get that special feeling that God heard my prayer. Amen. Well, I've been praying for this church for a long time, and I feel very comfortable here. I feel at home when I'm here. I feel like I know people. I know a lot of people here in this church. And again, I want to thank you for everybody that prayed for me when I was going through all these treatments, because I was weak and the devil was fighting me every day. And that was the biggest battle. But the devil, he still aggravates me. But I got the victory. I got the victory now. I'm doing good. I'm excited about the church. We all have different things. I told him not to give me this. I said, I'm feeling good, and I'll talk and talk and talk. But anyway, I'm praying that this church will break that record of 650. I've been praying for that for a while. And every time y'all have a big day, I get excited. I said, this could be the day. This could be the day. And one day when that record's broke, y'all going to see the biggest old grin on my face, because I'm going to be smiling and, telling what I'm going to do. I might be running around here a little bit. I'm getting stronger every day. But praise the Lord. I'm thankful the Lord's really been good to me this year.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. Amen. And we will be going on bus route Saturday, y'all. That's one way to show you're thankful. They'll be out here at 9:30 Saturday morning. We'll go with them on their route last week. Had a great time. All right, is anybody else? Miss Barbara, where you at?
I just want to thank the Lord for this church and for everything that it's meant for me. I go to my son's church when I'm in Asheville, and it's nothing like this one. I just want to thank the Lord for saving me.
Amen. I wonder if one of my deacons back there on the back row want to say something. I got three, four deacons right back there on that back row. See them three girls right there? And they give me a hard time sometimes. Anyone of them want to say something for the Lord? Or the man of the house, he might want to. Then it feels funny everybody looking at you, don't it? That's what I have to do all the time. Stand up there and everybody staring at you, gawking at you. All right, which one of y'all want to say something? Who's the spokesman for this group right here? All right, who wants to?
I don't know what to say, but I love coming here, and thank you, Brother Danny.
You're welcome. Amen. They can speak all kinds of languages. Anybody else?
Whatever. I'm saved. So
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me, and I want to thank the Lord for Brother Danny and this church. I started attending the Shining Light Baptist Church in 2002. And I've been coming ever since.
Amen. Isn't that a blessing? Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Stop me. I'm getting ready to get in the Word here. We're going to Galatians chapter 6 here in just a second. Everybody get your Bibles out. Look at Galatians chapter 6. And I want to talk about the thing that I'm more thankful for than anything. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for God's goodness. And I'm thankful for God's blessings. And I'm thankful that for food. I'm thankful that we live in America. I'm thankful that I've had a place, warm place to sleep. You saw that video I showed Sunday where the people didn't have no refrigerator and no heat and hot water. Thank the Lord for all of that. But let me show you what we really ought to be thankful for tonight, just for a few minutes, and we'll go. Be real short here. Galatians 6 and verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. I don't know if you've thought about it lately, but the cross of Jesus Christ is what we can shout about no matter what. If you lose your job, you can still shout about the cross. If you lose your health, you can still shout about the cross. Now, I've heard a lot of people say they're going to have a big meal tomorrow and stuff, and I hope everybody does. And I was kidding them boys back there a minute ago. Everybody's talking about, you know, we're going to eat a lot and everything, and I don't want to gain weight and everything. I'm going to say something that's going to make some of y'all say, oh, this is really going to discourage you. Because people saying, I'm going to eat a big meal, but I'm going to walk it off. I'm going to walk a mile. Or I'm going to, they come out, statistics said, did you know if you eat one M&M, you know how far you got to walk off one M&M? A city block. One M&M. So you say, well, I eat big Thanksgiving dinner and I walked around the house and down the driveway and walked up. No, you didn't either. You would probably have to walk from here to Asheville to walk off that one thing. I'm running in the morning, Lord willing. I run every morning, and I'm planning on running 2 miles in the morning before I go and not eat breakfast and go to my something, maybe balance it out a little bit. But for a Thanksgiving dinner, honest to goodness, you'd have to run here to Hickory and back twice. So forget that. You just want to diet or do whatever you can. But, you know, God's been so good to us here in this country that we have to worry about stuff like that. There's people in other countries don't even have anything to eat. And I'm thankful for all of that. But you know what I'm more thankful for? I'm more thankful that one day, Jesus put His hands like this, willingly, on His own free will. They didn't take His life. He laid it down, y'all. He laid His life down. He put His hands out like that. They took spikes. You've seen them with spikes. Drove them right in here. You know, there's a lot of argument about where they crucified and put it right through His hand or through His wrist. And in the Bible, if you'll read it, the wrist is part of the hand. If you read your Bible much, you see that. This is your hand in the Bible. Now, the Bible said back there in the Old Testament when Eleazar and them and Jacob was putting jewelry on Rachel, He said He put that bracelet on her hand. And a bracelet's like my watch. It goes right here. So that's a part of your hand. The ear is a part of your face. Put an earring on her face. And so it probably was right in there. I don't know, but where it would hold Him. And when they drove them nails through His hands and through His feet, He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called, Father, these people ain't worth it. Get me down. He could have said, angels, come and rescue. He could have spoke the word and killed every one of them people that were crucifying Him. You know why He didn't? Love held Jesus to the cross. Nails didn't hold Him. Love held Him. He could have got loose from the nails. I'm telling you, they beat Him that day. They mocked Him. The Bible said His visage, His visage, like visible, visage, what the Bible says, was marred more than any man. They spit in His face. They slapped Him in the face like that right there. And then it said they plowed up His back. Like you'd plow a garden with a tiller. They went up His back like that, plowing up His back. Looked like hamburger meat. And they smote Him in the head with a reed. Just wham, wham, wham. Hitting Him in the top of the head. And they spit in His face. The Bible said they covered His face with their spit. And it all culminated and ended on the cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for the cross. Amen. There would have sin became actual. There'd have never been no sin forgiven if it had not been for the cross. Even people in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats, it didn't forgive their sin. It covered their sins. It covered it. It didn't take a sin away. All them sins were still there. They're just covered so God couldn't see them with those blood of those animals. They couldn't take them away. But in the New Testament, John the Baptist seen Jesus coming down the hill and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that what? Taketh away the sin of the world." He didn't cover them, brother. He took them away and got rid of them. And I love the song we sang a while ago, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Never before was holiness demonstrated like we see at the cross. Here at Thanksgiving, I don't think I've ever talked about this like this on Thanksgiving, but I've been thinking about this all day. The cross, the cross, the cross. That's our message, y'all. That's our hope. That's what we can tell people. Somebody died for you on the cross. All the people that are in those riots out in Ferguson, Missouri, and in New York and everywhere. The message of the cross is what we need. What the victims need. What the victimizers need. What the peaceful people need. What the unpeaceful people need. Whatever race and every color needs is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, He died for my sins on that cross, and I'm putting my faith and trust in Him. Amen. Justice made it necessary. The law made it necessary. You know, there's no way that the law could have been fulfilled if Jesus hadn't died on that cross. Right. If the Lord hadn't died on that cross, the law would have never been fulfilled. When He died, He said, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Got baptized and nailed Him to the cross. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song called "Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, it shall never suffer loss." Like a marching army, we ought to lift up the blood-stained banner to a world without God. The Lord, when He was on the cross, He spoke seven things. Isn't that something? While He was on the cross, seven sayings of the cross. You've heard preachers preach on them? I'll give them to you. Number one, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Think about that. They were beaten to death, y'all. And He looked up and said, "Father, forgive them." Are you having trouble forgiving somebody? That's a good example right there. They were beating Him to death. "Hey, you know what they've done to me?" They didn't do that to you. They didn't nail you to an old nasty wooden tree, brother. You can forgive anybody if the Lord can forgive us for what we've done to Him. If you got hard feelings against anybody, forgive them right now. He said, "Forgive them, for they know not what to do." Number two, He said, "Verily I say unto you, today you'll be with me in paradise." To the thief on His right hand. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You know what that meant? He said, "I'm going to paradise here in a little bit, and I'm going to have you with me." Now His body went in the ground, and that thief's body went in the ground. So that means your soul leaves your body when you die, and it went to paradise. When He rose from the grave, He brought paradise up and moved it up there to the third heaven when He ascended on high. And now, when you die, your soul goes immediately to be with the Lord, even though your body goes to the grave. There's no such thing as soul sleep. It's amazing what doctrine the Lord taught there, right there on the cross. "Father, forgive them, but they know not what to do. Today you'll be with me in paradise." Number three, He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And "son, behold thy mother," talking to John, saying, "Take my mama home with you." He looked out for his mother right there and took care of her while he was dying on the cross. Isn't that a blessing? Number four, He looked up and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" What is that talking about? When that one fateful moment come, when God the Father turned His back. You know why God turned His back? Because God the Father can't look on sin. And all the sin in the whole world was placed on the Lord that moment on that day. Every cuss word, every lie, every act of sin, every ungodly thing that has ever been done in this world. You think of the worst, sorriest, low-down thing you ever done was placed on Him at that moment. God turned around and went like that. And Jesus said, "God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Lord, have mercy, people. Have we got a story to tell or what? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Listen, he said, my God, why thou forsaken me? And then he said this. He said, number five, I thirst. Showing his humanity. That means he felt that pain. He felt that pain. I've heard people say, oh, well, he was God. No one, I mean, he'd stand it. Yeah, but when he was on the cross, he did not use his divinity to ease his suffering. In other words, he suffered just like me or you would have if the same thing had happened to us. He didn't say, well, I'm God, so take away this pain, take away that pain. He was God, but he was man too. And he wasn't half God and half man. He's all God and all man. That's the incarnation. That's God in flesh. That's the second member of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God the Father was in heaven, God the Son was on the cross, God the Spirit was in Him, making intercession. And He said, I thirst. They put up their vinegar and one of them, somebody wrote a book or something one time, and they said, well, that vinegar had stuff in it, and it just knocked him out, and he swooned. They say swooned. He just sort of passed out, and they thought he was dead, and he really didn't die. That's why he resurrected 3 days. But they didn't read it too close, did they? It said when they put it to his mouth, he refused it. He refused it. He didn't swoon, brother. He died. Number six. Right when he got ready to die, he said, it is finished. Amen. Like that, brother. Yes. You know what, buddy? Ain't nothing could be added to it. Ain't nothing could be taken away from it. He told his mom, dad, he said, I've come into this world to do His will and finish the work that He gave me to do. You can't do one little old thing to save yourself. You can't do nothing to get saved. You can't do nothing to stay saved. You can't do nothing to get unsaved, brother. It's finished. It's finished. The price has been paid. Done deal. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Amen? That's right. I was listening to a preacher preach, and he was talking about people wanting to stay here during the tribulation. He said, boy, we're leaving. He said, I don't know about you. He said, you better get your bags packed, get ready. The Lord died. He's coming, and we're leaving. It is finished. And then the last thing, number seven, what would he say right before he died or as he was dying? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. Buddy, there's the seven sayings on the cross. I could talk about all the prophecy of the cross. In Isaiah 53 and verse 7, it says he was oppressed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. All them scriptures in the Old Testament. Psalm 41:9, yea, mine own familiar friend. Talking about Judas, who betrayed him. Isaiah 50 and verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters. That's a prophecy. 700 years before it happened. Psalm 22:14, I am poured out like water. My heart is melted in the midst of my bowels. It's like wax is melted. His heart was broken inside of his body. Isaiah 53:12, he bare the sin of many. Isaiah 13, somewhere along in there. He made his grave with the wicked. All of those scriptures were fulfilled on the cross. Well, you've heard these stories before. And I know some people don't like preachers giving stories and stuff. But I'm telling you, the greatest teacher that's ever lived on this earth was Jesus. And he taught by stories. He gave parables. He gave stories. And he said one time, in this large city, there's this little girl. And somehow or another, she got away from her parents and got lost. And she wasn't but about 5 or 6 years old. And somebody brought her to the police. And all she was crying, big old tears running down her cheeks. And her eyes was red. And they said, honey, what's your name? And she said, I told them. And they said, where do you live? And she said, I'm in a big house. And my house is brown. But she didn't know. She didn't know the address. She didn't know how to tell them where she lived. And they said, well, honey, do you know how to get to your house? And she said, no. They said, honey, do you know what street it's on? She said, no. They said, honey, do you know your address? She said, no. And finally they kept talking to her. And they thought, if we can just figure out something that's near her house. And there was a big old church down there on the corner. And on that church, it had a cross on top of that church. And they said something, one of them said something, "Do you know where that big urn?" And she said, "Yeah, I know where that's at." She said, "That's near my house. That cross is near." She said, "If you can get me to that cross, I can find my way home." Lord have mercy, I heard that. I like to come out of my... I thought, "If you can just get me to the cross, woo, I can find my way home, y'all." I'm telling you tonight, if we can just get them to the cross, they can find their way home. If you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home. And I'm glad I got to the cross one day. Amen. Hallelujah for the cross. That's right. Hallelujah for the cross. They said up there in Pennsylvania somewhere, Pittsburgh, I believe it is, there's a big old church down there. There's a big old cross outside of town. And they said the plane, the pilots, when they come in, used to use that cross. You know, on foggy weather and stuff. They said they could see that cross and guide that plane in. I'm telling you, we're navigating through this life. If you can just see that cross, you're headed in the right way. I want to say tonight, if everybody here will just be thankful for what happened on the cross, you can have a shouting, happy Thanksgiving. I don't care if you have to spend the whole day without any turkey to eat. I don't know if I've ever done that. I've spent some Thanksgiving days by myself. I have. It didn't kill me. I sort of enjoyed it. If you can just keep your eyes on the cross, you are not alone.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.